the College World Series.
I don't want it to be the winning morning. This town, this night, this crowd. Come on, put them up, let me hear it loud. This town, this city, this town. Stand up on your feet, put your worries down. And every one of you all around. Come on, y'all, let's take this town.
You are now watching the College Baseball Insider Show.
Good morning. We have Super Regionals on deck and joined as always. I've got the crew here. Boys, let's recap the regional round real quick. What was the most shocking thing other than Murray State knocking off Oxford, which gave us another number four seed in the tournament? Hats off to them and our friend Wes Carroll at Evansville for doing it last year. But outside of that, what else was your biggest takeaway?
I would say Miami from, like, if we're talking strictly about these teams, I think Miami getting through Southern Miss was a surprise for me. Southern Miss obviously tried to come back in the last game, but I just thought at home, P. Taylor Park, you know, Miami would come, you know, collapse, but credit to them. They haven't, they fell short from the last 2 weeks of season ACC, and they were able to kind of regroup and find, you know, consistent baseball again. And then the only other one is I know we talk about UTSA has been good all season, but with Slosh there, I really was surprised that Texas just absolutely no-showed. I thought the loss in game one against them would kind of wake them up, especially at home, you know, and people kind of saying, hey, Texas may not be good when they lost Jared Spencer. That was surprising to me that they just kind of laid on the mat and chose not to get up.
Nick?
Yeah, I would say my biggest takeaway is we've been talking all year where it didn't feel like there was a ton of parity. It kind of felt like maybe there's 5 to 10 teams that can win it all, which still might be the case. I mean, we're still looking at Tennessee, Arkansas, LSU, Carolina, Oregon State. Like, so there's still some big names there. But we see this, and it happens every year, where it just didn't seem like it was going to be one of those regionals. Like we said it, like when we were doing our show last week, I think most of us picked when we were doing our top two from each regional, a lot of us were having the one seed make it out, or like the two seed would be like the second place team. And now you look at it and just crazy, like how different it turned out than what we expected. I mean, you look at UTSA, UCLA was the one, like we all said, this is the most likely one to get upset. They're the one who make it through and with ease. Like I don't know where that offense came from, but if they play like that, then they are a real danger for everybody else. Murray State, Duke making it out of Georgia was a big one. So it's like, as much as we talked all year, like maybe NIL is going to ruin college baseball even more just because of the way like the top teams are going to get so much better than the kind of mid-majors or the lower power four teams, and yet we still have Sweet 16 super regionals with teams from all over the place, all different sizes. So it's pretty cool.
Smitty?
Yeah, I think the biggest takeaway, well, a couple. One is just the craziness. You know, I talked to a couple people that watched it over the weekend, and that was what they said to me. They're like, wow, that was crazy. There's a lot of upsets, and they said too, like we've been saying now for like a couple of years, there's no run. There's no lead safe. These teams can really blow it really fast. And then, you know, UTSA was one. I thought Texas for sure was going to come back in that. I was really surprised on Monday with the Southern Miss loss. I did not think Miami was going to win that game. Like Nick just said, the UCLA, that was one that I thought that team for sure could get knocked off. Duke, they pitched actually pretty well. Louisville's staff really came and pitched well. So, and Murray State. And then the one thing I loved was the safety squeezes by Oregon State. I think it was the first time they beat USC. I love that. I think they did it like 3 times in a row. It reminded me of like a Little League game. They just kept doing it because they couldn't stop it. So that was a lot of fun. Yeah, I'm excited. I think it's going to be a wild weekend.
Can I add more that we all missed? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, man.
Well, no, I was just going to say to kind of touch on what Nick said. When we did our rundown and picked the runner-up and the winner, I think a lot of the same sentiment was made of kind of how we handicapped these teams all season long. You know, Duke, Miami, Louisville all would kind of have these shocking wins for a series or two, and then they would drop one and you'd be shaking your head. And then it kind of felt like Ole Miss and a couple of the other SEC teams were more consistent throughout the year. But then again, when you're going up against a team that's kind of streaky, are we really surprised that we get Duke, Miami, Louisville? Because I'm not. But on the flip side, it's like UTSA, they upset Texas. I was low on Texas going into it. I said if Dallas Baptist gets into that super or to that regional with Texas, I liked them. For whatever reason, didn't like UTSA in that spot. Dallas Baptist goes 0-2. So I don't know. This past weekend, Ken says the big takeaway is I didn't catch one ticket. I feel one good day out of four. It was pretty brutal. Pretty much everything that went wrong, I feel like, for the trusted went wrong this past weekend.
Yeah. Just one of the teams.
Like Griffin Kern game against Kentucky, coming back and winning that game 3-2.
Well, you look at the last game with Oregon State and Georgia. Like, everybody was on Oregon State. You had your Harrison Bodenorf ace. Oklahoma State, I'm sorry. They go up 6-2, and the next thing you know, they lose the game. Like, with an ace on the mound, it was just wild. But one of the teams that I don't know how I missed, and we all missed it. How about Oregon being a surprise? That was crazy to see that. And Grayson Grinsell, you think, like, this is an easy win over Cal Poly. And he just got shit on, and I was like, wow. 0-2, like, the program was complaining about not being a top 8 seed, and then you still get a regional seed and you go 0-2 with zero showing. Like, that was wild to me. That was not good on their brand of baseball.
TCU also, you know, really upset being there. And then I said that to Q. We talked on the phone, and I said, you know, there was that controversial play the first game of the Oregon game. I'm like, here's the thing. They shouldn't have been in that spot anyway. Blow somebody out. Yeah. I mean, you're the number one seed, and you have the home field for a reason. Do it. Same thing with TCU. Complained, and their fans weren't happy, and then they didn't show up either. So the crazy weekend continued.
Yeah.
Here's the stupidest thing of all this is last year, Tennessee, Texas A&M were 1-2 in Sierra and weighted runs created. This year, it's Arkansas, Tennessee, the exact same position, except they have to play in a super regional. This very well could be the best two teams, and one of them's going to get kept from going to Omaha. And I'm very nervous about it as a Razorback fan. Have not bet it one bit. I'm interested to get into this one, but we saved the best for last. That's just my biggest gripe with how this bracket turned out.
Yeah, I don't agree with it. Here we are, but I think it's pretty piss poor planning, to be honest.
All right, so let's get into the super regionals. We have the first one with Miami and Louisville. Miami plus 125 to win it. Louisville minus 145. We have AJ Siskar actually taking the mound for Miami in this game one versus, I'm going to assume it's Patrick Forbes based on the graphic that they tweeted out, which I know they sometimes get us with that, but it looks like it's got Forbes on the cover of it. So in this one, I'll pull up the projections for the site, but you guys discuss what you're doing in this unlikely all ACC super regional matchup that probably should have been Vandy and Southern Miss, but here we are.
I have to wait for the pitching matchups. Like, when you look at our site and you run it, whether it's neutral or non-neutral on our site, when you type in Forbes, Bivin, and Everly, the only one our site likes, and our site's been hitting pretty well this year, and I would agree with it from the eye test, Patrick Forbes is the only shot, in my opinion, for Louisville here. Griffin Hugus is not going to pitch. It's going to be Siskar, but Siskar pitched really well against Alabama. And I think that he's kind of on a heater, right? Like, he's a freshman, but he's gotten enough starts where maybe you're not getting a freshman mentality on the mound anymore. And Miami's playing on house money. Let's just be honest. It was a team that had 25, you know, newcomers coming in for JD Arteaga. I kind of was calling for his job when they lost like 5 of 6 series. And even towards the end, right, they had that little run, and then they go and get swept in UVA and then lose the last series. And then get bounced, 12-2 against California and Charlotte. Like, hey, credit to him. They've turned it around. But Nick said it on in several shows that this Louisville team at home is different than at Louisville on the road. They did go into Nashville and dominate. I think their bullpen and their starting ERA combined was like 0.78 for the weekend. If that continues, Louisville is going to Omaha. If that doesn't continue, maybe take the over because that'll give Miami the chance to score some runs. But I've got to see the pitching matchup to see if Forbes is pitching or not to have a decision.
Nick, what are you doing here?
Yeah, I don't like where the number's at. I thought this would be a little bit closer. I was surprised Louisville is such a heavy favorite. So I'm assuming the books are probably thinking it's Forbes as well. I think it's what, 175 now. Yeah, this Louisville pitching staff, we've talked about it. This has been up and down all summer, or yeah, all spring long, where it's what are they at home versus on the road. The offense has started to travel a little bit better, but they gave up 5 total runs in the 3 games. That's if you would have told me that, whatever, like a month ago, I'd have said there's absolutely no shot that this whole pitching staff gave up only 5 runs in a weekend, especially to 2 offenses like we talked about, like ETSU. One of the best offenses in the country, Ken Rake, gave up 2 or 3 runs to them. Vandy, who had been hitting extremely well, gave up 2 runs there and then shut out Wright State, who was also a mid-major known for their offense. So that pitching staff, if the pitching staff shows up like anywhere close to what they did last weekend, I definitely give Louisville the advantage. I just don't think right now that 175 is really too much of a playable number.
Smitty.
Yeah, I wish I kind of agree with Nick a little bit there. I think the number's a little high. I do, you know, maybe Q's dad's going to love me because I keep saying I can't believe Miami's here and I can't believe they might try to win this. So, but this, like Nick said, the starting pitching was just dominant last week, weekend for the Cardinals here. I think 3-0, I think 43 strikeouts, something like 9 walks. They got to stay hot. It's a very streaky team for Miami. I think it's too high. The one number I'd maybe look at is if both teams' arms can stay hot here, maybe the under 12.5. But I'm going to, like Q said, I want to see who's pitching in this for sure before I do anything with this game.
You're a brave man if you take a Louisville under. You're a brave man.
This is one of those games where, you know, you often talk about like in the NFL playoffs or a bowl game or something. Like if this was not a standalone game, would you even bet it? Like if this was just a Saturday matchup in the middle of the season in the ACC, you're probably not betting it. Don't feel like you have to bet it today either.
It's 2-9-8 teams.
Yeah.
And the under and the over-unders bounced. I think the other day it was, if I remember on DraftKings, I think it was 12. And then I think yesterday it got down to 11. It was 11.5, I believe. And now it's back up to 12.5. So it is kind of bouncing around a little bit here.
I will say this as a credit to programs before we move on. It is good to see. Hopefully this is the start of Louisville baseball being back as well as Miami, because I think the sport's better with those two teams being in it every year. It just sucks because they're two mediocre teams right now that we're trying to watch and painfully suffer through.
Two contrasting styles, though. One is doing it with hitting. One is doing it with pitching. It always makes me laugh whenever I see the teams that are like that, just complete polar opposites. So which one are you going to back at the end of the day? If you had to pick one, Louisville minus 145, Miami plus 125.
If I had to back?
Yep.
For the series or just for today?
The series. We only have 8 of these. We got to give people something.
You know what? I mean, I hate to do this. I think Miami could do it because, like you said, Matt, like pitching always gets you to Omaha and then timely hitting. And I've seen more consistent pitching success in Miami than I have in Louisville. But, man, that's such a hard toss-up.
Nick?
I think I would back Louisville. And this is more of just Louisville being at home. I will take their offense over. We talked about it, like, and Q said it, like Miami's pitching has been more consistent. But I think probably the most consistent out of anybody has been Louisville's offense. Kind of over whether you talk about Miami's offense, Miami's pitching, Louisville's offense. So I'll take like what I think is the most, like the best basically trained on the field is I know for the most part what I'm getting from Louisville's offense. So I will have to back that.
It's fair.
Smitty.
Louisville all day. I think they're a better team than Miami. They didn't play each other in the regular season. I'm going to stay with the streaky starters. Let's keep pitching well. 27-7 at home. I'd go the Cardinals. I really like it. I think they win this series.
I do think Louisville's path to get here, going through ETSU, who was a very good mid-major, Vandy, and then Wright State, another good mid-major. I think that's probably more impressive than Bama and Southern Miss twice. But I'm with Q here. I think Miami can get through this. I like the plus money when you're talking about. For me, it's more of a coin flip. It especially if Siskar goes out and beats Forbes, then you've got Griffin Hugus. Like, Miami's, I feel like, good. Because nobody on Louisville's pitching staff outside of Forbes really worries me. Because at any point, they're liable to give up 25 runs.
Well, Miami's offense, like, they're not great. But, again, it kind of ties into my over theory. Like, you're a brave man if you take a Louisville under. Their bullpen is so atrocious. I think Nick at one point texted, like, we had a 9-2 winner. And then two-thirds of an inning later, like, they're down one run in the games. And we're like, are we serious right now? Like, this is a joke. And that's the problem, I think. Like, a bad bullpen – or a bad starter can elevate that Miami Hurricanes offense and Daniel Cuvée just enough to for them to squeak out a win. I'm not saying that's impressive by any means. I just think it's a downfall to Louisville outside of Forbes. But the home field is definitely a thing with Louisville. Like, just flip a coin. You know, we've got a gun to our head decision here, but I don't think any of us are playing this.
This is good because this is what I needed to try to instigate a bet because I have an empty card right now. Plus, I did go to Miami, toured the field, a self-tour because the gate was open. And I have a Miami hat, so I need them to get to Omaha so I can have every team in Omaha's hat. I do not have one for Louisville, though. All right, this one is, to me, outside of Arkansas, Tennessee, for obvious reasons, this is the best Super Regional. It sucks that, or again, I said it last week, and look like an idiot, so I'm not going to say Oregon State wasn't deserving of getting the national seed because my argument was that Oregon should have gotten it, and we saw what happened to the Oregon Ducks. So, that being said, Florida, I saw somebody tweeted, they said Duke gets to host a Super Regional and we have to fly across the country. It is what it is. It's just part of this. How the NCAA tournament works, but it is super unfortunate. The fortunate thing for Florida State is that pitching travels well, and at Goss Stadium, capacity of 3,600 people, give or take, it's not going to be any different as far as a home field advantage than what you're used to playing in the ACC on the road. It's great weather all weekend. It's high 80s. Jamie Arnold, Joey Villani, flip a coin, whoever is going to go in game one. I think Florida State is the better team. I know you guys were higher on Oregon State. I really wasn't believing it. And then after the St. Mary's loss, I'm laughing, saying, yeah, this team is crap. But then they turn it around. They come back, win that regional in dominating fashion. Florida State still at the end of the day. I think they're an Omaha team. So give me Florida State to win this one and win game one.
I'm going to take Florida State in the series as well. I do like Oregon State. It is a tragedy that, like, these teams wouldn't meet in Omaha for the same reasons Tennessee, Arkansas. Florida State's offense to me has just been a little more consistent. There's been times where Oregon State's offense has died. Now, obviously, they've only lost three games at home all season long, and that's a big thing, right? We always joke that Omaha runs through Corvallis, and it's true a lot of the times. But when you look at the seeding, like, they got matched up with a team that was in Omaha last year, was a check swing away from changing the entire trajectory of last year's College World Series winner. There's a bad taste in the mouth from some of those guys that were there. They go out, they get some great portal additions, they have a great coach. I just think Florida State's going to be too much, even though they're on the road. And I'll give you an unpopular take here. I actually would kind of be in favor if the tournament would almost reseed after each round to maybe not have a Florida State Oregon State matchup or a Tennessee Arkansas, because like it is crazy that Duke gets to host and you know you have all these runs. It's definitely an unpopular take, but I would love for Florida State to be home, Oregon State to be home, Tennessee and Arkansas, and get these teams in Omaha. So people can crush me for that, but Nick.
Yeah, I mean, I've been high on this Oregon State team most of the season. I, like you said, I do hate that this is the matchup we get. Because it does feel like both these teams deserve to be in Omaha, especially other teams that are left. So we'll see who we get. I think Dax Whitney's going game one. I believe he
thinks. Yes, confirmed.
It is? Okay.
It's Troy Vellini versus Dax Whitney.
No, Vellini's going. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then actually the game two might be the best one because you're probably getting Kleinschmidt then, who's, I think, been their best arm. So, yeah, that's actually a really good matchup. Oregon State at home, 21-3 at home. Ever since that St. Mary's loss, I need to look back at the scores, but I think it was something like
they routed.
It was like 20-3, 9-0. I think TCU was 9-2 maybe.
Yeah, it's like, right here. 7-2, 20-3, 14-1, 9-0.
Yeah.
Definitely was.
Yeah, absolutely woke him up, which sometimes it takes. We've seen that, where it, especially with their schedule or their lack of strength of schedule, not being in a conference. I think maybe it was one of those, like maybe they slept off just a bit, and it was like, okay, we could lose to anybody, and then turn it on. I love this team at home. I think the number is right in terms of this is probably the most, like, the most toss-up type of, like, one. So I think I lean Oregon State for the fact that they're at home. I like the matchup today with Dax Whitney over Joey Vellini, and then tomorrow probably Jamie Arnold. I would say I need to look and see, do we have series prices? Because I know they did them last year in terms of like the game prices. Like, you know, if there's any books that are doing like game three or any of those, because
this would
be. Because this would be one.
No, but like, that, the box at the top there on the guide is series price.
No, oh yeah, no, I meant series prices in like to go three games or like to go like
2-0
perfect games. Match of like somebody like Oregon State to win 2-1. Because I think this one does go. I think this one goes three. So yeah, I think that's what I would look for. But I actually do like Oregon State today.
Toddy.
Yeah, it's a tough matchup. Two really good teams. I really like Oregon State. I like how they play. Florida State, really good starting pitching. Bullpen's a little iffy. If the offense stays really hot, like the boys already said, 21-3 at home, 4-game winning streak at home. Yeah, this is tight. I think this is going to be very competitive games this weekend. If they can get to Florida State's bullpen, I think Oregon State will advance.
That line, it's moving now, too. It's up to -125 for Oregon State. So it's actually going their way.
Good.
And Dax had what was Dax's performance last week? He had a really good performance, didn't he?
He was good up until the fifth or sixth, where he kind of lost it. But, yeah, otherwise it was good.
Over his last three starts, he's got a 1.56 ERA. That's pretty good.
Dax is pretty solid, especially a true freshman. I mean, he's throwing.
Bellini's got a 7.20. Tucker, I want to post your comment, but I don't know what you were saying. That happens to me, though, when I hit enter. I'll get back to us. All right, let's move on. So what did we – Q and I picked Florida State. Y'all two picked Oregon State again. 2-2. Good. Giving y'all some value. We're probably all going to be in here.
I'm going to grab my earbuds. Apparently, I have really bad echo.
Okay. North Carolina, Arizona. I think Arizona is probably just happy to be here, but they ran through the very easy part of that regional, Cal Poly twice and Utah Valley. Tip of the cap, North Carolina is my pick to make it to the championship series. So it should come as no surprise I'm going to take them to win this super. but the 380 price is way too rich to take. So find them parlay dance partner and throw together a little parlay. Nick, take it over.
We mentioned this team. Like, Arizona is so much different with Brendan Summerhill in the lineup. He's whatever, projected as a top 10, top 15 pick in the MLB before he missed 75% of the season this year. Very good defensively. He's like one of your like crazy athletes. I think he's 6'3", like 210, and can fly. And then you have, why am I drawing a blank on the shortstop's name? Who hit
Mason White?
Mason White has home run in 5 straight games. So his team's kind of clicking right now, which is the 250 is intriguing, just because I think that line is like Kremkowski is good. Like, he's not like some slouch that they're throwing out there. I know Jake Knapp is ACC pitcher of the year. And is very good, but that to see that line is super regional. I don't know if anybody should be plus 250 in a game. So I think the look here is probably going to be Arizona plus 2.5, especially at minus 105. It's actually fairly cheap. And from what it tells me, it's probably going to move to 1.5 minus like 130 probably by game time, which is only in 1.5 hours. So I think my play here is probably I'd look at that Arizona plus 2.5 because I don't think North Carolina's offense is another one of those. Been hot lately, but they can cool down. So we will see what offense comes out. If they keep hitting like they did against like Oklahoma and like they just kind of ran through everybody in that regional, they could blow this out here and just make me look dumb. But I actually do – I think Arizona keeps this one close. And I think it's like with a total of 10, I think you could easily be looking at something like a 5-4 game or 5-3 and you hit that.
Toddy.
Yeah, this I'd say a money line parlay with somebody with North Carolina. I just think pitching staff, but Nick made great points. I mean, this team's offense is on fire. I think in the last six, it's like 49 runs or something they've scored. So if it's like I said with Louisville, like if they can keep the hot streak going with the arms, but Arizona is pitching a lot better than they did in conference play here for sure. So they're peaking at the right time. I think 9-1 last 10. So yeah, I like what Nick said about the 2.5. I think this could be a tight game. I think that's a pretty good play, but I think North Carolina wins just because, like we've said, it sets up really well for them. The depth of their pitching staff, they can go to the bullpen, the home field again, 28-7 at home. I think the 2.5 is a smart play if you like Arizona. And I like the money line parlay with North Carolina and somebody else.
Yeah, I'll probably join you on Arizona. This team, I mean, look at their last 10 games, which being on a 9-1 win streak, winning the Big 12, that's going to do it. But they have something going here. And North Carolina really didn't surprise me much in their offensive performance. Like, they blew up Kyson Witherspoon. And then they lose in the second game. Only score 4 runs against Holy Cross. Maybe the offense is kind of in a lull state whenever Knapp is up there because they know that he can be dominant. But like you said, Kremkowski's been just as good. You compare the Sierras, they're pretty much identical. Arizona, the hotter team, plus 2.5 may not be a bad play, but I do still think North Carolina gets through. Q, put a bow on this one.
I think it's a good middle spot. I think you do North Carolina in a money line parlay, but then I also think you could play that 2.5 because I think it's a close matchup. The over-under is 10. I could see it being a closer game. Like Nick said with Kremkowski, does the North Carolina offense kind of simmer down against quality pitcher? I also think Summerhill and Mason White are going to be able to manufacture a couple of runs against North Carolina. I mean, you know, Oklahoma is a similar style of offense, in my opinion, on production, and they were able to score some. So I think maybe it could be close. And if you're trending towards a closer game, then that plus 2.5 looks great. But ultimately, I think we talked about this backstage. I think this is North Carolina's kind of path. We look at the bracket. They miss, you know, some of the toughest SEC teams. Like, it just kind of feels like their year. Whereas last year we started saying that about Tennessee, like everything was going their way. And I would hate to be on the wrong side of that. So I think it's a great middle spot.
All right. Weather, definitely something you want to pay attention to. These forecasts were put out Wednesday. based on the weather app. Pretty crappy weather all pretty much down south. Auburn
weather's never changed. You're always right.
Yeah. So Auburn favored here, but not by as much as you would think. Is this more of a belief in Coastal Carolina in the mid-major, or just the downfall of the SEC after what we saw this past weekend? Because I really think Coastal is a live dog to win this regional. I kind of wish that we could have gotten a like plus 1.5 or whatever on the series prices, because I do think this goes to a game three. Sam Dutton is their best chance to win, and it's Sam Dutton versus Cameron Flukey in game one, right?
Yes.
You look at their comparisons here. Flukey has been just as good, 240 Sierra. Am I crazy to think Coastal could go 2-0 in this?
I don't think it's going to go two games. I think it does go three. But I do think Coastal comes out of it. I've already sent it out. And when you look at these guys like Flukey, Morrison, Eichhoff, there's not a single team in the country that Coastal's scared of. And to me, that's scary. Their coach is – it's like fundamental baseball, which SEC teams struggle with. I mean, we see Kentucky focus on that and beat people, right? And then just the grind and the grit. And I'm not taking anything away from SEC baseball. I love the conference. But when you catch a team like Coastal who's not afraid of anybody, when they have – you know, power four offense or power four arms. You have one of the best catchers in college baseball. Like, they just do everything right. Small ball, they can hit a long ball. They believe in themselves. Like, this feels like they're going to get out of here. And when you look at this, like, I'll give it out. I play plus 1.5. I think you could even take Coastal money line. They were 6-4 against power four teams that are worth anything. Washington had a little run late, Wake Forest, Clemson, and then really, they were 9-4 if you want to technically throw Rutgers in there as part of the Big Ten. That's pretty dangerous. Like, they play Troy. They play Southern Miss. Like, they are not a team like Murray State who maybe didn't play, you know, that much competition of that elite level. Coastal doesn't care. They'll beat anybody anywhere, and that's what's scary. So I think the plus 1.5 today is to play. I think they get out of the series. I already played that as a series as well.
Here's the problem is I wanted to see Coastal and Florida play, so I could see how they matched up, and that was a matchup that we never got. Thanks.
I think you said it, but like, well, you know, it is what it is. Auburn, you mentioned it, and I'll let Nick go after this, but Sam Dutton is kind of all they have. Like, I can give you the full scouting report on Cade Fisher.
That's what I'm saying. So if Flukey beats Dutton,
they're done.
The series is over.
And Nick and I talked about it on the phone the other night. When you look at this Auburn team, right, they're very similar to me with a little more power than Kentucky's last year's team. They win a lot of close games. We saw that change for Kentucky this year and lose a lot of close games. They're riding high on momentum. That's not sustainable. And they, I don't want to say like they haven't been good. They won 41 games and that's a credit to themselves, but they've had a lot of luck on their side and a lot of big hits and big moments, but so is Coastal. And if I take the little team that believes in themselves over Auburn, I think you're on the right side.
Nick, and they're on a, what, 21 game win streak?
Heater.
Carolina.
Heater.
But we saw how that ended against an SEC team with Northeastern. So,
yeah, come on.
I don't know.
Coastal's way better than Northeastern.
They go out. I mean, it's kind of like the whole Vanderbilt thing. We propped up Vandy. Congratulations. You ran through the SEC tournament. You're the number one overall seed. But there was still that glaring red line straight across their offensive performance, just like we've got with Coastal Carolina. And now it sounds like I'm waffling. Maybe Coastal's not that good.
But look at the red line. How far apart are they?
Are we going to be surprised if this offense is completely stagnant against Sam Dutton today?
When you look at that line, there's one number, two numbers, the last two that have remote distance between them. Everything else is 0.05, 0.01. You know, like they're right there.
SOS.
Well, that too, but
I don't know, playing devil's advocate. I would really love to see
a mid-major. No, you're right.
Love to see a mid-major in Omaha. I don't know. Auburn has been so hit or miss all season long. What do you think, Nick?
Yeah, I mean, you have to go back to April 15th to win basically the last time the last time that Coastal lost a second game, and that was to Wake Forest. So you're basically talking a month and a half. So what you're thinking here is, will Coastal lose twice in a weekend when they haven't lost twice in a month and a half? I am kind of surprised, like stat wise, because I like Q said, I put a lot of value on this Coastal, especially their starters. So I'm kind of surprised if the pitching stats kind of lean Auburn outside of ERA. I know everything's pretty close. I mean, Sierra, XFIP, like there's nothing that's extremely like skewed one way or another. But that is a little bit surprising. I also think Coastal's offense is, I don't even know what to say. Like, it is kind of Kentucky-ish. Like, this isn't your normal Coastal team from last year or 2 years ago, where it's just like they're relying on a 3-run home run to win games. They are definitely different from that standpoint. I think Coastal gets it done here for sure. I think this does go 3 games. I don't like today, because today I kind of lean Auburn. I think Sam Dutton at home. I think we talked about it, or I've talked about it previously. I think Sam Dutton's ERA on the road is still in the sixes. I think it's like 6.3 something, but then at home it drops like 1.88. So it's a huge difference, his home and away splits. So I actually do like them today to win it. But yeah, that 154 price is not something I want to lay. So it could be just like a Coastal look, but even plus 1.5 at minus 140 has gotten pretty expensive. So I need to figure out a way to play this, but I don't have anything on it right now. But I do think Coastal ends up taking the series.
Smitty.
Yeah, I like Coastal in this. Good team, ERA, deeper bullpen. I agree. I think this is a tough spot tonight, but it, like you guys said, if they can get this, then they're really in the driver's seat here. You know, you look at it, Auburn's 28-6 at home. Coastal's very good on the road too. I think 18-7 on this. Nick made the point about, I think their last loss, yeah, it was like April 22nd, I think I wrote down. So maybe I think Nick said the second game of the series there. Good lineup by Auburn, tough to strike out, but you know, looking at this, I like the run line. You get the 1.5, but maybe, you know, both really good starters tonight. So maybe you look at, I think it's 11 on DraftKings right now. Mm-hmm. That might be a little bit of a peak on the under 11 here on this game. This should be, what, 9 p.m., correct? Yeah. This is a good Friday night, something to watch here at 9 p.m. tonight. So, yeah, I'm excited for this one.
Site makes Auburn minus 135. With Fluky versus Dutton, interestingly enough. Okay, Los Angeles Bruins versus the Roadrunners. Kind of an unlikely scenario. I actually would have said, which one are we going to get? I would have said UTSA over UCLA because I just didn't believe this Bruins team. But UTSA looked dominant against Texas. Like, that was not a fluke. They go out and do it again, run through that like shit through a screen door. And I know that UTSA UTSA's head coach came out and said, you know, you guys didn't believe me when I said this, we're gonna go out and win this regional. I think it's much more impressive than what UCLA had to do. I think UTSA, they're a super regional team, or they're a Omaha team. They are a super regional team too. That was redundant, but I think they're going to Omaha. I'm still not buying UCLA. Tell me I'm wrong.
The only thing I'll tell you is this is probably an over 12 matchup. I don't trust either pitching staff with 100% certainty against the offenses. I'm probably going to put it in right after we get off the show. It's minus 115. Other than that, like, both teams could beat each other, and I wouldn't have a surprise. I'm surprised this is a super regional matchup. I don't think that counts, but I'm not taking a side on this one. I would just kind of play the over-unders for this series.
You have to. You have to for the exercise. Give me a bold take.
I think UCLA sweeps.
Nick.
I don't know what that look was for.
Yeah, I mean, you tell me. He wanted me to pick UTSA.
I did. It's fine.
Somebody would be wrong.
Yeah, this UCLA offense, 19, 11, and 8 on the weekend is pretty – that's pretty telling. And there was, like, no struggle. And I think Arizona State and UC Irvine are probably better than Kansas State. So I think that's a better – both those are better wins. The Texas wins are kind of where UTSA is leaning on. I think they beat them now 3 times this year because they beat them in the midweek as well. So literally the best team in Texas, and I think – that's, you can't really talk any other way about it. But man, this feels like UCLA's to win. I'm kind of with you. Like, Zach Royce is the main name, especially starting pitcher wise for UTSA. But you look at those stats, it's not something that's going to scare you. Or it's like, he's had a couple dominant outings, but he's, from what I like looked up yesterday, like his stat wise, it's a bunch of pretty much like mediocre kind of outings, basically like 2 or 3 runs kind of every time. I think UCLA can definitely get some here. The total is not a terrible play for tomorrow. I kind of like where Q's head's at in that over. I think, though, I will be looking more for, and not really a bold take, but let me see what this UCLA team total is. Because with it being 12, I'm assuming with them being -175 favorites, you'll probably get a 6.5 there. And that's where I think you're more likely to get 7 runs out of UCLA, just because I feel like I can trust them more. So I think that's going to be my most likely play for this one. But I like UCLA in the series.
Yeah, I think right with Q, I wrote down where I'm looking at is the over. I think both these teams, the pitching staff's a major question mark. Both teams can score a lot of runs. I think, though, a lot of people, you know, if you want to say upset, everyone's on Murray State. I think this is where the upset is. I think UTSA, coming off the Texas wins, I think they have a little swagger to them now. I haven't been sold really on UCLA all year. I think it's a very high-scoring series. I think that's where I'd go. But I'm going to go UTSA for the series. That's the upset.
Yeah, there we go. And I have a UCLA hat, so my theory. Going against you here. All right, let's go to Durham, talk about those Murray State Racers. Congratulations to them getting through the Oxford Regional. Really dominant performance against a good set of teams, Ole Miss, Georgia Tech, and then had to knock them off twice, or had to knock them off after losing to them once. You kind of felt like Ole Miss got their groove back and that they were going to win that, but no. Murray State comes out on top, +405 to win this super regional. Duke, probably, I mean, you look at the stats, they're better across the board. Are we going to be surprised if Duke goes to Omaha? No, but I feel like we all need that underdog to root for. But I don't think I can do it. Murray State, tip of the cap. I think it's 2 in barbecue in Durham.
Yeah, I think this is too much for Murray State. The story's great. They almost blew their chance at the final game against Ole Miss. Ole Miss just kind of ran out of steam there. This Duke team's playing with a lot of emotion, a lot of pride right now, and a lot of confidence. Kyle Johnson struggled throughout most of the year pitching. He had a phenomenal regional on the mound. This team right now, I think, is on the path to Omaha and obviously drawing Murray State. And getting a home super regional is a huge bonus for this team that didn't believe they would play a super regional, you know, at Jack Coombs Field. So give me Duke here. I mean, I know it's a tough lay, but, you know, maybe them and UNC is a decent parlay, or them and some, you know, maybe LSU, whoever you're confident in. I just think it's 2-0 Duke here without much surprise.
Nick.
Yeah, I think an over is, it would be a look here. Still can't trust this Duke pitching staff. Doesn't matter if it's Proch, Kyle Johnson having his best outing probably all season. Because he was literally out of the starting rotation, and he was like turned into like a joke in the national media. Yeah. Like for us, like especially those first like few weeks, he literally couldn't get out of the first inning, like in multiple different starts. So I don't know if I would trust him yet either. And I'll say this, maybe it's the old school part of me. Like, I love offense, but that Ole Miss regional was just embarrassing. Like, that was miserable to watch. Even as like a college baseball fan, like every game was four and a half hours. Look at that, like 19-8, 12-11, 12-11, 9-6. And that didn't even count like the Georgia Tech, whatever the Georgia Tech Ole Miss game was, which was also like extremely 12-11. High. Yeah. Oh, no. So yeah. Just something crazy. So I think that played into Murray State's strengths. And now they're not far off here with Duke, because Duke is going to want to outslug you. And that's kind of how they beat teams. So I can see that. I can see them being fine getting in a kind of high pace, like high scoring game. And I think that's what Murray State's going to want to do as well. So yeah, I think the overs here, like, especially, was it 12?
12 and a half.
12 and a half. I actually think I really like that. And this is going to be another spot where, yeah, if you don't want to lay it with Duke because it's minus 360, this is going to be another like team total that's possible, because like I said, I think this is extremely high and you could get the winning team there. So Duke would probably be like 7.5, I would guess, or 8.5. So that's a look.
Smitty, put a bow on it.
Yeah, I think Duke in two. I think they just have too much. The pitching staff kind of came out of nowhere, pitched really well. I think, you know, Miller, I think, got hit, and then you have the suspension that's they're still, I think, trying to figure that out. So yeah, that's key. I mean, I think if this is one chance, the first game could be a spot for Murray State, but I think Duke's just too much. I think this is 2-0, and it was a great story, but it comes to the end.
All right, let's go to Baton Rouge. West Virginia, kind of surprisingly, a huge dog in this. I think the Mountaineers have been one of those streaky teams. I was going to back Griffin Kern in game one. Then I got to looking at their analytics and stuff. I think what we saw out of LSU last week, their struggle against UALR, maybe just a fluke to get ready for this. I'm back and forth on this one. I think LSU obviously wins the Super Regional. Maybe West Virginia gets cute and tries to play game one close. The plus 2.5 is kind of tempting if it's Griffin Kern and Cade Anderson. But ultimately, I think LSU probably wins this one 2-0.
Yeah. LSU, I think it's just the 1-2 punch. Cade Anderson, Anthony Ianson being at home once again is just going to be too much. You know, credit to West Virginia. I think they were in a similar spot last year where outside of Griffin Kern, it's just kind of, you know, that's all the gas left in the tank. And when you go to Baton Rouge, they don't lose often in Alex Box. So give me LSU 2-0.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I think LSU set up the best, like you mentioned, because of that kind of 1-2 punch, which might be the best right now between like Ianson and Cade Anderson. They're set up for this perfectly. I think this is set up because of that 1-2 punch better than I trust them more in like a super regional setting than I did like in a regional or in the actual even College World Series, where they probably have to going to play like 4 or 5 games, because I don't think they're that deep pitching wise, but obviously the top part of it is extremely, extremely good. So yeah, I think they're set up here. Cade Anderson, I think we'll go game two if they keep it the same. Because he pitched against DBU on Saturday. So I think they'll probably stick with Ianson. Or no, I guess because tomorrow they don't start till Saturday. So it depends on what they want to do with Ianson, like give him an extra day or what they're going to do. So yeah, check the pitching matchup. LSU though, minus 315. I guess this could be another parlay piece with Carolina. Because I do think it doesn't matter if it's Ianson or Anderson, I trust them both. So yeah, I think this is a 2-0, pretty easy series for LSU.
Smitty.
Yeah, I think the games against Arkansas Little Rock might have woke this team up and said, we better stay focused and get going here. I think the 1-2 punch with the rotation is going to be tough. West Virginia, I give them a lot of credit. Tough team. You know, they're patient at the plate. They can score some runs. You know, they're not going to hit a lot of home runs on you. They're going to just kind of score. So I think it's going to be some interesting games, but I think LSU by far is the better team. I think it's 2-0 and they move on.
All right. And last but not least, going to Fayetteville for the rematch we just saw a couple weeks ago, Arkansas, Tennessee. Again, you look at the stat lines. I don't think marginally you can get any closer. I think the one benefit to being in Fayetteville is you've got Dave Van Horn, who is 35-4 there at home. And he's got a very good record. I don't have it in front of me. I think it's like 12-3 or 12-2 against Tony Vitello. I am completely torn in this one as both a Razorback fan, but more of a Razorback better in this sense. I have a ton of liability on the Razorbacks, but I don't think the move is to play a hedge on Tennessee to win the series. I would double down on a Tennessee future. I think they're plus 700 or 900, whatever you can get right now. If I had a lot of liability on Arkansas, which I do, probably take Tennessee just to win it all, because I'm not going to be surprised if the winner of this one finds themselves in the championship series in Omaha.
This was so tough for me. I could see it honestly going both ways. These are, you know, two of the most dominant teams in the tournament.
Look at it. 1-2, 1-2, basically every stat cross.
Yeah. I'm going to go Arkansas. I just think the home field advantage is where it's at here. I really couldn't even tell you why, because they're, like you said, they're 1-2, 1-2. My gut feeling says Arkansas. I don't think you're wrong for picking either side. But I have to pick one, so give me the Hogs.
Jason says it's either 2-0 Tennessee or 2-0 Arkansas. Or 2-1 Arkansas, not 2-1 Tennessee. So if it goes to a game three, it's benefit of – he said, well, they did beat Wake, but Duel played.
Yeah, I was about to say, they're definitely lost eight straight with not starting those two. But, yeah, it's going to come down to those. Marcus Phillips – was the starter when Tennessee beat Arkansas on that Thursday last when they played in the series 2 weeks ago. I think Tennessee did catch a pretty good break on this one being started on Friday, or I mean on Saturday instead of Friday. So it didn't actually hurt them, the fact that they used Doyle out of the pen on Monday. So he'll be on his normal rest basically, because I think he probably starts Sunday. I think they'll still go Phillips Saturday, Doyle Sunday. But, yeah, if you're going to back Tennessee here, I don't think you do it with the series price because you're going to get this price at least two out of the three games. Right now it's plus 135. I think that's based on it is with Phillips starting. I think – I can't remember what it was when – Matt, do you remember what the price was when Doyle started against Arkansas? I want to say it was pretty close to even.
Yeah, because I got Arkansas plus 1.5 runs, like minus 145.
Okay. Yeah. So it's so that's why I think if you're back in Tennessee here, I think you do it game to game.
Jason said minus 130.
It was 160.
Tennessee or Arkansas?
Yeah, I could go back and look and see, because I think that's
the Saturday game was Tennessee minus 160 3 weeks ago,
or the Friday game. Yeah, because they were Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So that's. That's a good I would probably play it as if you think Tennessee is going to be the one. I think you take Tennessee the game because right now it's plus 135, so it's already a better number than what you get for the whole series. And I think they have to win. I think they have to win this Phillips start.
4 2/3, 11 hits, 8 runs.
Four.
6 earned.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was Liam Doyle.
His worst outing of the year.
He said no Saturday. Phillips went Friday. Phillips went Thursday. It was Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Yeah.
Series.
It was Phillips, Doyle, and then Coons.
Phillips was still game one.
Yeah. So I think Tennessee has to get game one. I think they have to win the Phillips start because, I don't think they can. I don't know what Coons, like, he didn't even throw at all this weekend. So I'm not sure. And there's also been some weird NIL talk and like some transfer talk there too, like kind of behind the stage. Maybe I shouldn't have said that, but something's up with like the Coons thing. So I don't know if he's like, they don't know what the issue is there. So I don't know who would start Sunday. AJ Russell though looks fully healthy. He's throwing, hit 97. So like if that's the Russell they get in game three, then I guess Tennessee has a chance. But yeah, I think they really need to win the Phillips start on Saturday.
Smitty.
Yeah, major league talent on both sides. I mean, just talent everywhere. I mean, it's a shame, like you guys have said, that one of these teams is going to get eliminated here. So, yeah, I think it's a tough series. back and forth. I'm looking at, again, Arkansas is 35-4 at home. Both pitching staffs really good. I just think Arkansas is a little better, deeper in the bullpen. I'm going to lean Arkansas, especially with the home field advantage in this. It's really tight, two great teams. It's going to be enjoyable to watch.
All right, you guys, that wraps it up. Go download the guide at VSiN.com/CWS for College World Series. And if you want more of hearing us talk about college baseball, go hop on East Coast Sports Investors as we are 1 minute late. We're coming, Jeff. We'll be breaking all this down, giving you a little bit more of our opinions and going in deeper depth for the game-by-game handicapping. So thanks again for tuning in. Y'all have a good weekend.